Welcome to Weekend Ag Matters, our new Saturday morning agricultural news program. Let me introduce you to your host, farm broadcaster Ken Root from the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
We are only 17 days away from Christmas. Hope you have the spirit of the season. This past week was emotional for me. I watched the funeral services for President George Bush, our 43rd president. It was sad, but satisfying in its own way. The speeches eulogizing the former president were exceptional. I was proud to be an American and to see the unity of our country, even for a brief period. So I asked myself if there might be a patriotic Christmas song, and I found two: The National Christmas Tree by Robert Barron and Fly Our Flag for Christmas by Ronald James Sorensen. Neither one has probably made the top 100 list, so they're going to be my songs for the week. I'll play one here in a second and the other at the end of the show. If you think of the Christmas tree at the White House, lit each year by the president and his family with many invited guests, well, that is clearly portrayed in The National Christmas Tree.
Once a year it comes around, lit up for the world to see. With humble hearts we look upon the National Christmas Tree. We raise our hands, we hold them high, like that star once in the sky. We pray for peace, goodwill to man, sing out glorious in its Chelsea Stales once again. God's Spirit shines as we light our lights that bless our fellow man. A star adorns our Christmas tree, as it did in Bethlehem. It guides our way, it shines so bright, like it did that holy night. We bow our heads, we close our eyes, sing out glorious in its Chelsea Stales this Christmas night. Oh, America, have we forgot thee, our Savior Christ the Lamb? This night we come together and ask God to bless America again. Once a year it comes around, lit up for the world to see. We thank our God for this great land and the National Christmas Tree. We raise our hands, we hold them high, like that star once in the sky. We pray for peace, goodwill to man, sing out glorious in Excelsis Deus once again. We raise our hands, we hold them high, like we did that holy night. We bow our heads, we close our eyes, sing out glorious in Excelsis Deus this Christmas night. God bless America again.
There's more to crop insurance than protecting a crop. At Farm Credit Services of America, we know crop insurance is about protecting livelihoods, legacies, and a way of life. Crop insurance can be complex, but our goal of protecting you is simple. Discover the difference at Farm Credit Services of America. Agriculture works here.
Contact your local FCS America crop insurance specialist at 1-800-884-FARM.
You can't control the weather, commodity prices, or big ag, so how do you control your farm's destiny? Fight back and take control at Ag's most exciting event, Farmer to Farmer 4, this December 12th through 14th in Omaha. At Farmer to Farmer, you get a network, innovative and brutally honest, as well as new business opportunities for 2019. Join FBN and legendary pilot Captain Sully Sullenberger, Discovery Channel's Adam Savage, and thousands of leading farmers. Tickets available at farmertofarmer.ag. That's farmer2farmer.ag.
Now, here again is Weekend Ag Matters host, Ken Root.
Dustin Hoffman, you've been following what's been going on with China trade of late, beginning a week ago when the presidents of China and the United States met together, and there was some euphoria followed by a very negative period throughout the week. We still don't know where it's all going to go. What have you been able to find this week that shows where we're really going, in your view, with U.S. and China trade?
You know, you really hit it on the head to begin with there, Ken. I mean, there was that great positive energy Saturday night coming out of the meetings, the G20 meetings at Buenos Aires, the private meeting between Presidents Trump and Xi. You know, that we heard that the president was going to, not go forward with the tariffs increase on January 1st. China agreed to buy more ag products. But then after that, it really left us with a lot of question marks as to what's going to happen. I mean, there has been no indication as to how much China's going to buy and really what China is going to buy. You know, there is speculation that there might be a load of beans, because this is the time of year when China does tend to buy most of its beans from the United States, because Brazil and Argentina have not begun soybean harvesting yet, and so they are looking to fill those needs, usually from the United States. So this was that time of year. There is speculation that that's part of the reason China did come to the table. But as of right now, you know, we had Greg Dowd, the chief ag negotiator here, on Wednesday in Des Moines, and you know, a lot of questions were asked of him about things in China, and a lot of his response was, ask China. But as you're going to hear here, Ken, he did have a little bit more explanation, at least to what the viewpoint is from the administration side of it, at least as far as what China's going to need to do.
You'd have to ask China. The ball is in China's court here now with regard to these agricultural issues. It's China's decision as to whether those tariffs are removed or not, not ours. This is not something the administration did. This is not something the U.S. government did. This is something the Chinese government did, the Chinese Communist Party did, in terms of this discussion. This is how they chose to react to our concerns about intellectual property theft and forced technology transfer. They have an opportunity to indicate that they're willing to move forward, and hopefully we can have an opportunity here in these 90 days to sit down and have a dialogue and discussion and work towards resolving this.
And I had a market analyst on this week who really got down to the basics on this, saying that his view was that the most that China would buy from the U.S. in the coming marketing year would be 10 million metric tons. And that is a third or less of what they had bought in previous years. So no matter what we think we're going to get back here, it's not nearly as much as we had, and so prices, unless we have demand from other countries, can't really rise back to the level they were before.
No, the last number I heard speculatively was 10 million metric tons, and that was from the same market analyst. And, you know, you're looking at normally they buy 31 point whatever million metric tons of soybeans. You're looking at, like you said, that one-third. And that was something we were worried about in the beginning of this whole tariff dispute back in the summer, was if China goes somewhere else to fill their needs because we've put tariffs on everything, what is that going to do to our market long-term, even if we do resolve our issues?
Well, when Greg Dowd was talking, and by the way, on our website, you can get his full video that you shot, he talks about going other places and finding other markets. And although he's optimistic and says Ted McKinney from USDA is doing an excellent job, he still didn't give any false promises of a lot of business coming from somewhere else very quickly.
No, he didn't. As he said, you know, you see the what they call the low hanging fruit, you know, and you talk about, well, you have a deal with Morocco that you had. Well, that took 15 years. Talking about getting pork into Argentina, that took 20 or 25 years to happen. You know, we see these results and they look good. We always remember or even see the preliminary work and the amount of effort that's put in ahead of time. That it's not just easy if China shuts down imports to just go somewhere else. It takes time to build these markets up.
Does Dowd favor multilateral or bilateral agreements? What's his argument for one or the other?
You know, he went back to the theories of economics. He said, you know, you look at these regional agreements, he actually considers them the number three choice, you know, when you look at like TPP, because he said if you look at economics, and this is what something the president also said, you're only going to look for gains as good as or strong as basically your lowest common denominator. You know, where if you do multilateral with, you know, let's just say like we have with Canada and Mexico, or you do bilateral if we get this one done with Japan, you're looking at stronger group, stronger organizations and stronger returns because of the fact that you're looking at one-on-one negotiations rather than just throwing something in for a pattern like you would have with TPP with just 11 nations agreeing to something and, you know, not doing this but doing that. You know, it leaves too much wiggle room, at least according to Dowd.
Dustin Hoffman, Dowd pointed out there's three countries or groups that we potentially are trying to work trade deals with: Japan, the UK, if it becomes independent, and the EU. Which of those did he think might be the most likely?
Right now, he's got more positive things to say about Japan, and I'll play that clip of what he said of what's coming up next, because it's very near on the horizon, the work that needs to be done. So let's hear what Dowd had to say.
We have indicated to Congress through Trade Promotion Authority legislation that we intend to enter into negotiations with Japan and with the EU and with the UK, and that's important. Distinction to acknowledge as well. So part of that TPA process says there's a 90-day period here where we have notice and comment and go through a hearing and all of that. And we're in the process of getting ready to do that hearing very soon here. And I believe that notice and comment period ends sometime towards the latter part of January. So in this 90-day window, obviously, that's, you know, we're at a stop while we do go through this TPA process. But it is fully our intent here, you know, as soon as that process is over and we have all that done, that we are going to be very, very diligently working on issues with Japan.
So as you can hear, you know, he's pretty optimistic that this could be moving along here by the end of January, possibly, or maybe a little later beyond that. The UK and EU right now, as he said, is anybody's guess. Brexit is up in the air. In fact, I talked with a farmer just Wednesday night, I should say, from Scotland. Online, and he made the comment that it's very confusing even over there. He said, there's an agreement, but nobody agrees to anything. So that's the word picture he kind of painted for us as to what's going on with Brexit.
Well, it will be interesting to see if Brexit actually goes through, but if it does, then they stand independent, and the UK, which has great affinity for the U.S., may strike a trade deal for us, but in the meantime, will it actually damage our relationship with the other countries of the EU?
Yes, that's going to be a long way down the horizon before we may see how that plays out. Again, as Dowd said, these things do take quite a bit of time.
Dustin Hoffman, following all these things this week for us on the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network with your daily reports and also on the website. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ken.
Stay with us. We'll visit with Anna about the cattle business in a moment.
This is Weekend Ag Matters, produced by the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network and News Talk 1540 KXEL. Here's your host, farm broadcaster Ken Root.
Thank you. Glad to have you back. Iowa has a strong cattle industry. Not as big as Texas, Montana, or other plains states, but powerful at the state and national level. Anna Hastert covered the Iowa Cattlemen's meeting this past week. Anna, tell us what went on.
Yesterday, I attended Iowa Cattle Industry Leadership Summit. This is an annual event for the Iowa Cattlemen's Association. A bunch of their producer members get together. They have a bunch of presentations. Yesterday, they had presentations on what it means to be sustainable and how to overcome some activist groups. So that speaker talked about, you know, being active on social media sites, getting involved in local classrooms, and just making sure that the public actually knows what it is that you're doing on a day-to-day basis and how you impact their lives. Sometimes that can get lost in translation. So they just talked about involvement there. They also had discussion about traceability, what that would look like if that system were to be implemented into the beef industry long term. And they also discussed policies, what they want to take to the National Cattlemen's Beef Association Convention here at the end of January, beginning of February, some legislative things that they're going to work on in the upcoming new year that are really important to them and important to the success of Iowa beef producers.
Iowa cattle producers are politically active, and they have a legislative agenda. You talked to their executive director, Matt Deppe. What did he have to say?
Yeah, so some of the legislative issues that they're going to work on coming into the new year here, as I stated before, are traceability. You know, this can help from the consumer level, and it also can help at the packing plants. So they're looking at how the traceability system works. There would be a specific ear tag for these cattle, and it would basically trace them from the farm to the grocery store. So kind of like blockchain technology. And so they were, yesterday when I was there, they were discussing, you know, what that looks like moving forward. They discussed the pros and the cons. And the number one con that I heard was maybe some cost implementation and how that would be pricier for the cow-calf operation because they'd be having to tag calves on a yearly basis or maybe more frequently depending how their operation worked. How it was a little more suitable for maybe the feedlot side there. But there were a lot of pros to this topic too. They talked about how it added integrity to their product, how it also added value to their product by being able to provide this technology, show, you know, this is where my cow started from and this is where it is today. Just kind of showing that that lifespan of that cow. And it also just talked about animal identification, you know, this is really important for those producers, especially for record keeping purposes. They can better track cows and calves if they're in the cow-calf operation. And it also adds a little bit more liability if they were to have a problem at the packing plant. So that was a pretty big topic heading into the new year.
One of the high profile issues is hours of service for cattle haulers. What was Matt's response to how they're handling the regulation that only lets trucks operate for a certain number of hours, even though the trip for the animals may not be over by that time?
Yeah, so it's funny that you ask that, Ken. They actually voted on policy last year in regards to the hours of service rule, and they still haven't received a legislative resolution to this piece. So in a way, they voiced some frustrations in not having that legislative action taken. But for now, they're satisfied. You know, they keep receiving exemptions, so they feel like their voices are being heard. I actually have comments here from Matt Deppe, so let's hear what he had to say on this.
So it seems like we keep kicking the ball down the road with the exemption, which is positive. That's a positive piece. That means our voice has been heard. We participate in a national coalition on the beef side, as well as a multi trade organization coalition on the DC level with NCBA, our partner that we're affiliated with. You know, the challenge is just kind of thinking outside the box, or just initially as you asked me that, we're walking into a January where the house is flipped in terms of the party affiliation. Not necessarily that I'm for R's or for D's, but what that reference is, if there are some political debates, and we know with this current administration there are some political, you know, touchy-feely emotional debates that hit politics, things like the ELD, which there are plenty of fixes out there, could be held off. And so really, really trying to work forward and figure out what that next step forward is, but always looking for a legislative fix at this time that would help us move forward. We don't want to cost our producers or the trucking industry any more dollars in regard to resting periods, unloading, loading, and putting in risk those livestock from an animal welfare standpoint. So we're going to stay committed to finding that solution, and hopefully it's legislatively.
So basically what Matt's saying here is they want an action made on this legislatively, especially before the year comes to an end. As we know, there's going to be some shifts in Congress next year. So it's really important that they get things done now, because who knows what the future looks like for that piece of legislation.
Anna, did you get to ask Matt Deppe about their position on cell-based or fake meat?
Yeah, so I did get the opportunity to ask Matt about cell-based meat and how that is going to affect the cattle industry moving forward. You know, he said this is something that we can't walk away from now, that it's going to be available in the marketplace at some point in time. And I have some more in-depth comments from him here.
You know, first off, I call it lab-grown beef or meat and fake meat type of thing. And yes, scientifically, we talk about it being cell culture meat. Very important topic that came through ICA to our board after Leadership Summit last year from our membership. We actually were one of a very few number of states that took policy to the National Cattlemen's Beef Association because they did not have policy at the time. And we've been very engaged. Even most recently, late October, flew a leader with a meat science background into the discussion between USDA and FDA on the regulatory parts and pieces, who gets to regulate and connect to that label. So current timeline-wise, you know, we've got some news releases from USDA, FDA that, you know, USDA is going to have the majority of the regulation connected to the label, which is a good thing. That's what we were advocating for. But it's a long-term type discussion. We found out that, you know, there's still a lot of research and development to be done just logistically on how this would work. But bottom line, if we're going to have to compete in a protein market, traditionally grown and raised and produced livestock meat versus kind of scientifically, chemically produced type meat and lab-grown meat, we certainly need to make sure we have as best as possible a level playing field. And so it looks like we're going forward on that, but, I'm it's not something that we're going to have to we can walk away from now. There's a lot of things that need to happen in terms of understanding how it needs to be regulated. You know, for instance, in a petri dish, there's an antimicrobial type, or there's a microbial type environment too. So do they use antimicrobials? I mean, that was a question that was asked, and not really a clear answer on how that all works.
And Matt just said, again, reiterates the need for fair market access. He understands this is something that's going to be available in the market, but they need to make sure, USDA needs to ensure that beef that's grown on a farm and not in a laboratory setting will have fair market access and will be on a level playing field.
Anna Hastert, thank you very much. Quite an organization. We appreciate you covering the meeting.
Thanks for having me on, Ken.
So here we are, early on a Saturday morning, a great time to be thankful for God's creation. No matter your view out the window or out the windshield, rejoice. Be glad to be alive. Be thankful for all you have. Be appreciative of the people in your life. And be proud to be an American. Let's pull our hearts together for the holiday season. Here's a closing song, written for veterans and for those who didn't make it home for Christmas, ever. We should be very thankful for them.
Fly a flag for Christmas, for you know what it means. It's all about our freedom, not only Christmas scenes. Fly our flag for Christmas, though you may be far away. 'Cause I'm always thinking of you on this special Christmas day.
Fly our flag for Christmas, it's special for a child.
And think of all the things we buy to make our loved ones smile.
What can make the time go by
but your grandparents see their family all together in a home where they are free. And telling of a story of many years ago, there was a baby Jesus, the story we all know. Imagine after bedtime, you see Santa on the snow.
as she passes the grand flagpole, and you wonder where did all the memories go.
Fly our flag for Christmas, it's special for a child, and think of all the things we buy to make our loved ones smile. What can make the time go by but your grandparents see their family all together in a home where they are free? Imagine after bedtime you see Santa on the snow as he passes the grand flagpole, and you wonder where did all the memories go.
Weekend Ag Matters is a production of the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.